All right, I'm glad Lori was excited about that word. A little feedback, a little come on with it or something is really good out there. Don't go to sleep on me. I know it's nice and cloudy and rainy and everything else. I love coming in here and listening to water run through the pipe. It sounds like a cool waterfall. And when we started out with that song, do you know that the scripture really does says that there's a living fountain in you? Never runs out. Don't you love it how God can take a little drip of water and you drink of it and it becomes a roaring fountain living in you? In other words, God's trade-ups are so amazing. He takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeds 20,000. He takes 1 drop of water to that woman at the well and says, "Will you just drink of it? If you'll drink of this cup, it'll become a fountain." Come on, man, is that good? I mean, I think it's good. I mean, and so when I hear that pipe running, a drought in the natural may bring some parched areas to our lakes and the ponds. But can I tell you, you and I ought to be a flowing oasis all the time. Amen? Amen. Right, Brookie? Okay, just stand here awake back here. I'm going to call out some names today because, again, it's cloudy and everything. And she wasn't even close to being asleep. So anyway, I just love picking on the Smithwick kids. So it's a goal in my life is to call you out. Just kidding. Also, last week, for those that weren't here, we passed out our year-end mission statement. And there's plenty of them up here. I encourage you to come and get it. I encourage you to pray and think about what can I give to Emmanuel Ministries. They got a $20,000 debt that's staring them in the face that they got to get settled by the end of the year. And it's a government. If you've never been out of the country, I encourage you to come and go with me on some mission trips, whether it be Cambodia, Thailand, or even Juarez. The government, third world country, you can say what you want to about our government. We got some major hiccups in it. But if the government decides one day, you know what? Go tell all the orphanages in Mexico that they have to abide by these rules and regulations today, and we give them 30 days to get it all in order. And that is what has happened many, many times. Am I not right, babe? And all of a sudden, they find out that they have to come up with $20,000 to get some quote-unquote ordinance put in order, and it's only so that the corrupt government, if you will, of Mexico can make more money. And you can tell I have a little problem about the government of Mexico, and God's dealing with me on that heart of how to bless them. But anyway, also, so please pray about any year-end giving. And also, this is about your giving for 2012 to Juarez, to Cambodia. We also included on here an outreach and benevolence. People in our local body who might need a blessing through the year, but also our outreaches. As we go to Harry Hines or different things, the ladies are taking gifts to the ladies. They're taking little different things. And it may not be a lot that they're spending every time, $10, $20, $30 a month or whatever. Excuse me. But it adds up over a year's time. So I want to invite you to pray about the different things. Don't cut down on your tithe. Look at God to even give you more. And all of that. So many times when there's an appeal to give, we'll go, okay, well, I'll take my percent down to here, but I'll still all get it looped in for 10% and everything. I want to invite you to test God, like it says in Malachi. Yeah. Test me and see if you don't give your tithe, and even above that, and see if I won't open up the storehouses of heaven and bless you. Amen? Yeah. All right. The 14th, December 14th, and again, Jason's going to go over these. But part of the reason this house exists is fellowship. This time of season, we got office parties, we got school parties, we got all kinds of things going on, and we can flash through the season and forget what this season's really all about. I want to invite you to come on a little Wednesday night, December 14th, for a night of fun, fellowship, and allowing me to beat you and Rubik's Cube and all the other different games that we may play. And because I did dominate this past time. Jason is past history. And in fact, I don't think he won. He gets very angry, though. If you want to come for no other reason to watch a manifestation of anger and then to pray for Jason Jones, come for that, because when he loses, it's ugly. He even threw the board over on Candace. So anyway, just kidding. Also, December the 18th, 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a cool service. We're going to have like maybe 2 songs. And the room, and it's a potluck lunch afterwards. In other words, let's slow down and enjoy fellowship. But we're going to borrow some round tables from a new social non-social that just opened up. And we're going to have the table set up in a very intimate way. And I'm telling you beforehand because I want you to start praying and thinking what you're to share. Because it's going to be a Sunday that we're going to toast and boast on our King. I was reading Corinthians. God's got me in Corinthians as part of my reading. And it, you know, there's so many things there about how you do a church service, have three or four prophecies like we did here today. And I mean, we ought to be inviting those things. It ought to be where I'm turning 20 of you away because yours is for next Sunday or something. Amen? We ought to all come ready to be used in a church service and not the pastor, the worship leader. No, you come ready to pray, to give a word. And then come and give it to the guy who's in charge of that or the gal and go, might be next week for yours. Hang on to it, though. But there should be three or four prophetic words released every Sunday. If you don't believe me, read 1 Corinthians and see if it doesn't say. That was so rampant of gifts being released then that Paul had to make some little tie downs on different reasons and all that, and I won't get into that. But the 18th, I would like every family, whether it be the Browns or the Robertsons or the Smithwicks or and maybe even all of the Smithwicks, but we're going to toast and boast our King. And I want you to share in one sentence, one paragraph, or whatever, what God has been faithful to your life in 2011. You see, I think that we've messed up worship. I love worship today. Please hear me. But we've made worship about an instrument and singing. And the Lord was reminding me of this as I was sharing this with Celia just a couple of weeks ago. The first few times we went to Juarez at Emmanuel Ministry, I was sitting on the top ledge there, and you'd have to go to see the actual playground there. And it's about midnight. When the groups are in there, they let the kids stay up late. Tim's been with me several times. And I was sitting there and listening to orphans who don't get to have a lot, playing and loving and laughing with the youth of Sojourn Church. And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, this is true worship. This is true religion. And he spoke to me out of James 1. True religion is what? You take care of the widows and orphans. And he said, Mike, this is more worship that I love about what you're doing than any time that you've done worship before. So the 18th is not going to be about instruments. It's going to be about you toasting and boasting on the King. That's going to release worship that I believe will be a sweet-smelling aroma to the King. Amen? So you have 2 weeks to come up with something. If half of you don't show up, I figure that you got fearful and couldn't come up with something. But I encourage you to come. It's going to be a real, real cool service. And there will not be pressure. Well, I might. But anyway, yeah, I might. If you come and you don't stand up, I might say, hey, you sure you don't have something? But it will be done in love. Also, on our 24th and the 31st, New Year's, Christmas and New Year's falls on Sundays those days, we're going to do a service from 4 to 5 those Saturdays, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve is going to be a cool service, candlelight service. We're going to toast and boast on the light of the world who came. The 31st, here's another homework subject for you. That service is going to be 1 hour. We may do one song. But then it's going to be an hour. God's going to give all of you prophets and prophetesses in here a prayer or one or two verses to read out of the Word that's going to affect 2012. It's going to be an hour of releasing decrees that will affect our metroplex, our families in 2012. Thank you, Coley. Thank you. It is good because it really is. So can you come lay hands on everybody? It really is. It needs to be something. At this time of year, I love it when a year's ending because God wants to give me a sound to release something for 2012 or that new year. Amen? I feel like, and I know I'm doing a lot of intro right now, and I promise I'm only going to go for about 15, 20 minutes of sharing, and then we're going to pray for people again. I feel like some of the words that the Lord's already given me for 2012, that faith is going to be restored to the church. True, sincere, authentic faith. And see, to me, it's those people who've gone through the fires and they've come out, and now the faith is of substance and authority. Hebrews 11 is all about a group of people who went through the fires and then they came out and they had real faith. Because you see, without faith, what does it say in Hebrews 11, 6? It's impossible to please God. So God's going to restore and redeem our faith. He's going to make the Word of God more alive in 2012 than many of us have experienced in the last decade. The word revelation is going to become real again. You see, we all have a bunch of information. We need revelation. I'm going to talk about that today. The word transform, transforming, transformed, and transformational is going to become a reality again. Because you see, with revelation comes transformation. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I've been praying and thinking about which scripture I was going to use to really catapult us off here. But turn to Acts 4. Because my title of the message today is Transforming Revelation. We need revelation so bad. I believe that many of us are on overload of information, but we need revelation that will really make us strong in our walk with the Lord. Information, if all I have is information about the Word of God, and even if I read the Word of God on a regular basis, but it's information just logged up in my brain, can I tell you, if I meet somebody smarter than me, and that's not that hard for me to meet, somebody smarter than me, well, guess what? If it's all information, they can talk me out of my information because they have more information. And that's the reason we need revelation, because I see so much of our nation, from the White House on down to my own life, where we struggle with character, because you see, when I get revelation of God, I'm also convicted to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. That's the reason Jesus showed up and he says, I'm looking for worshipers who worship me in spirit and in truth. I love what's going on at Bethel right now. Celia knows that I've been sharing this with her. I'm in this passionate pursuit. If you've never gone to their YouTubes, they're having this gold dust show up for like 3 and 4 hours that will just amaze you. I mean, for like 3 or 4 hours, they got this light and it's like massive confetti. Anybody seen it yet? Has anybody gone? It's like massive confetti falling from the top of their ceiling. Pure, unbelievable gold dust. I encourage you to go and YouTube it. Again, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for the one who gives the gold. But I've also been thinking about this when I watch these YouTubes. When heaven becomes so close to earth, because what are the streets paved with in heaven? It's gold. So wouldn't it make it natural that if heaven got that close to me, that there might be some little trickles start coming down from the streets of heaven? Now, that's just the way I think. But we also need of truth. And I love that Bethel's team, more than any church I've seen in a long time, is about spirit. But man, they're about cranking out true disciples. You see, you can't just chase the gold and lack the character. But then if you only chase the character and not the spirit, what do you have? You have religion. Right? So I believe my passion for, as the lead pastor, is that we would be people who run after God in spirit and truth. I long for the day that gold would start falling from this place. But I wouldn't be captured and captivated by that and not go out there and live a life that's wholly set apart from the world. So it takes revelation in that. And before I read Acts 4:13, I want to enlist everybody who will join me. And I've handed these out before. I've left many of them here. It's the apostolic prayers. I want to invite you to come and join me praying every day over the next year and maybe the next decade out of Ephesians 1, 17 through 21, that the Father of glory would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. Because that's revelation means, and you can find it in your strong concordance in number 601 and 602, it means to uncover something. You see, all of us have got veils on us to a degree. And they're veils of the enemy. It says this in, thank you, says this, and we have plenty of copies back here. It says this in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the God of this age has blinded, has veiled my mind to keep me from knowing the gospel of the very things that Wendy K. Spoke out of Isaiah 9. The enemy wants to keep you from knowing Him as wonderful, that you're not blown away by the awe, the shock and awe of the love of God. And what's amazing, even some of you will come on Sundays and get a revelation of God's goodness and love, and guess what happens on Monday? It's a bad day, and the veil starts coming back up. Tuesday's another bad day, and now you barely, the love that you saw of God on Sunday, you barely see it on Tuesday. If you study the Bible, it says in the book of Joshua that the walls of Jericho should never be built again. And if they are, the firstborn of that person who rebuilds it will die. Can I tell you, the walls of Jericho were rebuilt many, many times, and two firstborn sons died. You can study that in the Old Testament. But what I mean by that, the enemy is constantly always trying to rebuild the walls of Jericho of deceptions and lies that we try to get free from. So many of us count our freedom on what the preacher preaches on Sunday, and then we'll go 8 days without opening up the Word of God. And that's the reason the church moves in very little power and lacks character. Am I right? So what needs to be uncovered in you that the enemy has so veiled you in? I want to talk about my journey. Many of us are veiled because of the family we grew up in. We have deficiency in the area of fear, addictions, don't know how to handle finances, whatever the list may be, and it's a spirit and it's a lie, as the Bible says in John 8, that the father of lies, the devil, deceives us. And he deceives us with lies, and he puts veils around us, covers us up. Your name may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you're so covered up and veiled of the lies of the enemy, you have a hard time seeing God's love. You have a hard time of seeing God's truth to get your finances in order. You have a hard time of seeing the truth of how to handle relationship between a husband and a wife. And the only thing that will do it is a revelation of God. Some of us need to have some covers of lies removed off of our life. I grew up in a great family home, pretty much. And we went to this great Baptist church, and it's nothing against the Baptists. Baptists are awesome. But they have a truth and not the whole truth. And this is what happened to me in my journey going to great Temple Baptist Church, pastored by a great man of God, Pastor Bozeman. But you see, they didn't believe that the gifts of the Spirit were for alive for this time in this season. I was even taught in Sunday school that if you prayed in tongues, it was of the devil. Ben got honest with you. If you grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, you know what I'm talking about. And so I grow up, and I went to Sunday morning, training union Sunday night, Royal Ambassadors on Wednesday night, for those that know the Southern Baptist language there. I mean, I was steeped in it. But praise the God, they also steep you in the Word. Very deeply in the Word. But I go through life and I'm thinking that really nobody can be healed. Miracles can't be released. We never ever preached out of the book of Acts. But man, they were strong on salvation. Well, at the age of 16, when you get put a lid, a veil on a young man who's already looking to bust loose and go after the ways of the world, when the church doesn't offer something more than that, and again, salvation's great. At the age of 16, I remember as sure as I stand here today, I made this inner vow judgment, whatever you want to say, in my heart. If this is all, I'm out of here and I'm going after the world. And I did, as many of you know my testimony. But then after I came back, we went to a great Disciples of Christ church, First Christian Church. It was a church that had accepted Celia, loved Celia when I was still at home in that last year, smoking my dope, wanting to get free and all of that. Finally, I go and I encounter God and I encounter His love. I encounter His forgiveness. I start growing and they're kind of into the things of the Spirit. But I'll never forget, they invited that church on the other side of town to come and have a joint service with us. And it was that Holy Ghost church. Now remember, I have a database, a veil over my life, a cover, that it's of the devil. Remember the service, babe? She's coming out of the Catholic Church, who it's a big step for her already, you know. You got to go confess your sins to the priest. She's just growing in the fact that I can really approach the mercy seat of God myself. So she's got veils. See, the songs we sing about freedom, it really is time to get free. And we need to go after it every day, praying, God, Father of glory, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of who you are. I need to know you totally, God. Well, in this service, this Sunday night service, worship's good, it's going great, and C and I are sitting there, man, we're in our late 20s, you know, we're hungry for God. All of a sudden, somebody behind me starts praying in tongues. What's my veil? Because those veils have a voice to it, right? Those veils of fear, those veils of not being able to handle finances, whatever it may be, well, that veil starts speaking to me. Oh my gosh, they're of the devil. Because I've been trained that. Yeah, oh my gosh, the devil's in this place. Well, gossip is not a problem of mine. If I have a problem with you, I'm going to come talk to you. And I've grown over the years to basically come try to do it mainly in love. But I went to our pastor at that church within 3 days. I had to get my heart right. I said, hey, I just got to tell you, I don't agree with that. Again, the veil is speaking to me. It's the father of lies. Remember what I said? John 8. And those veils are speaking to me. This isn't real. It's not authentic. It's of the devil. I was trained that. I watched my dad, even as a deacon, not walking in understanding total truth. When some people at Temple got filled by the Holy Spirit, by that church I'm talking about, they were asked to leave. Because their database understanding, their veil told them it was of the devil. Because it comes all the way down from the top office of Southern Baptist on down, if you will. And I want you to hear my heart. I'm not talking bad about the Southern Baptists. I love them. They're part of the family of God. But we desperately got to go after deeper revelation of what the Spirit of God is really all about. And we've all got to go after the Spirit of God. Because see, some of you may have a revelation of finances and man, you're good at it. But there's other people in this house that don't have that. And some of you may have the veils removed that, man, you know Daddy's love incredibly. But you have no faith of believing for miracles because you're veiled, kind of like I was, in my culture that I grew up in. Some of you have no faith. You're veiled to not believe in miracles because you've had a close loved one die. And those veils have a power and a whisper to it. They have the voice out of John 8. They're the father of lies. See, the devil can't remove mine and your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, but he'll keep us from being moving in our freedom and the destiny that God's called us to walk in. Excuse me. So as I went to the pastor, I said, if we're going to become that kind of church, C and I are going to go back to the Baptist church. That's what I told him, because it was steeped in me. And he says, no, Mike, that's not what we're going to do. We just want to do some joint services with them every now and then, you know, blah, 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 blah. And now that church that I talk about, I've become that church. What's cool about Hereford, though, you got to drive 40 miles to find a Christian bookstore. You got to go all the way to Amarillo. I'm not too sure that you and I haven't gotten lukewarm in our hunger, because Bill Johnson on our platter last weekend, Reinhard Bonnke on our platter this next weekend, Pastor Mike, the great preacher he is, this weekend. Don't shout me down, David. We grew up under Terry Moore's leadership, many of us. And it steals our hunger. You see, in Hereford, I didn't have that. But you know what was weird about what those people did? Even though I spoke out of the veil that had authority over me, guess what? It also brought some life to my spirit. Because just like Peter said in John 6, when all the disciples, when Jesus gives this great church growth message about eat my flesh and drink my blood and everybody's leaving, thousands left. I mean, there's at least 5,000 to 10,000 people there, and now he turns around and there's like 12. And he says, "Where do you guys not want to leave also?" And Peter says, "Where do we go? Your words do something to us. Your words give me eternal life. Your words have spirit and truth on it. And when you told me to drop my nets, Jesus, 3 years ago, I dropped the wine because your love was more amazing than the fish nets. Those fish nets represent the veils that can blind us and keep us from walking in the goodness and the kindness and the faithfulness of God. So over this journey of pursuing a revelation, I have all these veils of religion on me. Praying in tongues is of the devil. I can't pray for people to get well because miracles died with the last apostle. Is that not what the Baptist taught us? And again, I'm not talking bad about them. I want to help bless them because they did so much for my life in the Word of God and a passion for lost souls of evangelism. They have a portion. You and I have a portion. But I want to walk in the fullness of the freedom that God has paid for us through His Son. So I started reading Robert Lierden's book. If you ever read any of his stuff, dude is one hard, intense, going after God person. But I start reading about the Holy Spirit. And one morning at 500 Union in Hereford, Texas, I'm down on my knees in our living room early in the morning, like at 5 in the morning. And I'm praying. And all of a sudden, my prayer language became tongues. That changes your theology. Veils start falling off. You see, there was a veil that was torn in two at Jesus' last breath that is a very prophetic representation of the veils that need to be torn off of all of us. All of a sudden, where it could only be a priest that would go into the Holy of Holies, when Jesus did that, it invited guys like Peter, Paul, Saul, who had become Paul, Mike, Celia, to come and snuggle up and get as close and know as much about God as any person could. I'm at the 18-minute mark. So here it is. 4:13, so that this will make it an official meeting. I thought it was 4:13. There's tongues for those of you who needed that. Oh, there it is. Oh, maybe it wasn't that. Okay. Am I an axe? Yeah, I am. Okay, here it is. Can't find my point. The deal is, Peter and John go before, I think it's 4:13. What happened to my Bible? But they're standing there among the Sanhedrins and the Pharisees. And what do they say about them? Oh my gosh, these guys are uneducated, untrained men. But we marvel at the fact of what is coming out of them. They're uneducated. They're untrained. You got to know who this audience is that is making this declaration over Peter and John. They're the Pharisees. What is one of the requirements of a Pharisee? He's got to know by word, every word of the first five books of the Bible. He's got to know the Torah, the Pentateuch, is what it's known by. The first five, they got to know every word. And there's something being touched in their spirit by what Peter and John are living at a whole nother realm. They even say they're uneducated, they're untrained. How's it coming out of them like that? Here's another one. Acts 19. And it starts about Acts 19, about John, Peter, Paul, and John. Paul's showing up. I'm trying to go fast now. Paul's showing up. And he finds a group of people who, they're not moving in some fullness of God. And he says, guys, I got to ask you, I've been watching you the last couple of days. What baptism do y'all have? Well, we got the baptism of John. Is there another? Oh, yeah, man, you've only gotten the baptism of forgiveness of sins. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that will give you so much power that the wonder of what Wendy Kay just talked about, the wonderful, awesome power of God is at your fingertips, at your heart, every second of every day. That the God that hung millions and billions of stars and galaxies in the heavens, He has that many revelations of who you are in Him and you, and He is in you. The shock and awe of it is amazing. It takes your little one-cylinder vehicle to a Hemi. Because the Holy Spirit comes into you and gives you power. Well, that morning, again, at 5 in the morning, 30 years ago now, that I start praying in tongues, a Hemi started coming into my life in the form of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, I'd known God's mercy and love by Him forgiving a guy for 8 years of drug and alcohol addiction. But in that moment, the love went off the charts. Order started coming in and chaos started being displaced. Now the rest of the story of Acts 19, and then we're going to pray. Two camps. Paul, who so knows the Holy Spirit that his handkerchiefs are now being used to be taken throughout villages and laid on people who are sick and are demon-possessed. And what happens? People start getting healed. People start coughing and gagging up because God's orders come to their spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotions, and demons got to go. In a handkerchief? It's because of the body it laid on, a man of God who loved the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then some sons of Sceva is what they're known about. Paul has revelation. Sons of Sceva have information. They go, wow, man, look what happens to those people when that happens. Let's us go try it. Anybody read Acts 19 late? Great story. And this is what I'm going to get to down the road. You need to know where your righteous plumb line of justice is. For the sons of Sceva, their plumb line went about as right here. They didn't know anything. God wants to use you and I where we can go and possess the nations for His inheritance. Sons of Sceva go out there and go, man, we've seen this. We got information. Don't have revelation. What did I say 2 months ago? They had an echo without sustenance. And they go, you know, In the name of Jesus, of who Paul preaches about, come out. They came on them, that's for sure. The demon that stirred that man up now got that man stirred up, and that spirit jumped on the priesthood brothers, beat them up, made them run down the streets of Jerusalem naked. Not a very good resume. This is what I'm talking about. You and I need to go from information to revelation. See, even Saul, who became Paul, what did he have before? Information. He was killing Christians. And the Holy Spirit started convicting him when Stephen lived his life the way he did. So it's time to trade up. Last week I started talking briefly about the revelation. And I started asking you to start writing out a plan that God was going to start releasing strategies of what you're to do. I believe small portion, each of us, and I'm going to talk about how do we get revelation. First revelation, the Holy Spirit does it all. For us to even get saved, He draws us to go, Daddy, will you save me? Yes, I will. But then there's the fasting and praying because we're hungry for more of Him. Then there's, I'm going to tarry 1 hour even if my flesh hates it. You see, you and I rush through our prayer life. We rush through the reading of the Word. Where's the time where I really take an hour and I meditate over one verse? For they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. And they marveled and said they had been with Jesus. What would happen to our cities once again if the lost started saying that about us? What would happen if you or you young people at your schools tomorrow, they said that about you? Or the way that we run our business, the way our marriages are. Gosh, I can tell they've been with Jesus. Will you tarry 1 hour? And here's another one that I feel like the Lord's already spoken to me about. I believe God's going to give every one of us a chapter that we're to read every day for our personal devotion. And you'll know that chapter before January 1st even hits. And God's told me other things personally that I don't have the freedom to share today, but the chapter He's already told me to read is Romans 4. That's for me personally. I called a pastor friend that put something on Facebook this past week, one night. She's really crying out for help. And I called her and I said, hey, this is where God's got me, Romans 4. That Abraham believed even when that veil of hopelessness wanted to speak. I choose to have hope and look at the hope of glory and be totally convinced that God is able. Well, since God told me that my chapter that I'm to read every day, I've already started it December the 1st. I'm not boasting on Mike. Please hear what I'm saying. Since then, I did my police ride-along on Wednesday, and I talked to a police officer. He's an awesome, precious man of God. But he's angry at God because his girlfriend in her early 40s is battling with cancer for the fourth time. This was my second time to ride with him. He goes to Prestonwood Church on the Sundays he doesn't work, and he says, Mike, I go because I want to please her, but I don't believe in God at all. He's told me he's going to start coming on Wednesday morning to our men's group. But you know, it makes me, I'm not only reading that chapter for me, I'm reading all that chapter for all the people that God's going to bring my way in 2012. God, as sure as I stand here, He's going to highlight a chapter in the Bible from the youngest to the oldest in this place. And you're to read it every day. And you're going to move in the power and the splendor of the Spirit of God.